Blog Talk Radio.
Go for it. Go for it. Hello, and welcome to Go For It, everybody. I'm your host, Paul Gant. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it, just like we do every other show. Flying solo today, and you know, just like every other show, I want your opinions. I want your ideas. I want your beliefs. And I want it all. Give me it all. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the On Air button at the top of the page. Look for the show. Go for it under the category of sports. And again, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. And today, NBA playoffs get started today, so we're going to preview those. Going to look at each series. We're going to see. We're going to take predictions. I want your predictions. I want upsets. I want who you think is going to be. What upsets do you like there? Give me some upsets. Give me some surprises in the NBA playoffs. We're going to look at the playoffs, and we're going to also look at fan behavior. There was an incident this past week. In Philadelphia, actually, where you had an individual. Apparently, this individual vomited on an 11-year-old girl at a Phillies game. Again, this individual by the name of Matthew Clemens, age 21. Mr. Clemens apparently put his hands down his throat and vomited on an 11-year-old girl. And it doesn't get any more nastier than that. That's pretty nasty. It's pretty vile. It's pretty low. And how low can you go, essentially? How low can you go? I mean, that's pretty disgusting. He threw up on an 11-year-old girl. And, I mean, and I know around the country, Philadelphia fans tend to have a bad reputation. People tend to say that they're mean fans, disgusting fans, despicable fans. I mean, and you have incidents, of course, that people always cite. I mean, of course, the one booing Santa Claus, cheering Michael Irvin as he lay on the ground. And to that Michael Irvin incident, in a lot of ways, I don't think they necessarily were cheering the guy. I don't think they understood the severity of the injury. And I think if they did understand the severity of the injury, they wouldn't have cheered. I don't think they would have cheered. But, of course, you have those incidents, booing Santa Claus, throwing snowballs at Jimmy Johnson. I mean, you have incidents there, but I mean, you have incidents in other cities. How about the brawl in Detroit? How about that brawl? When you had the fans basically fighting with the players. I mean, how about that brawl? How about in Kansas City where you have two punks essentially run onto the field and beat up Tom Gamboa, an old first base coach, I mean, for the Kansas City Royals. I mean, you know, it's crazy. I mean, you got guys attacking a 54-year-old man. And then you have other incidents. Back in 2004, you have Oakland A's fans in Oakland. They were heckling Tigers relief pitcher at the time, Frank Francisco. And things got nasty there. things got a little nasty there. And, you know, words were exchanged, and Francisco, he eventually threw a chair at somebody. But, I mean, granted, Francisco was wrong there, but, I mean, the fans were obviously not behaving in that situation. So the fans were not behaved in that situation. So, I mean, you got to understand that. But, again, all these things are in other cities. And all these things are just not in Philadelphia. I mean, look at the, you had an incident in Cleveland where you have fans throwing beer bottles onto the field because of a call that went there against their way. I mean, so you have other fans. I mean, don't just sit here and say Philadelphia does this, Philadelphia fans do that, Philadelphia fans are the bad ones. No, they're not the bad ones. You're just going off previous things, and automatically you're saying, don't let this nasty individual Matthew Clemens, don't let his behavior, don't let that behavior, don't say just because Mr. Clemens did that all Philadelphia fans do that. They don't do that. They don't do that. This is probably, you got 1-2% of the fan base who act this way. Not everybody acts this way. Not everybody acts this way. But in a lot of ways, I think the sports leagues, they encourage these things. I mean, you got guys, you know, in the football game, for example, you got guys tailgating all day, out in the parking lot tailgating, drinking God knows what all day long in the morning, starts and goes throughout the whole game. I mean, you have that going on. You have the whole thing going on. So it's like, you know, what do you expect? What do you expect? What do you expect? I mean, the guys are drinking all day. What do you expect? How do you expect them to act? Do you expect them to be on great behavior after they've been all liquored up? No, not at all. You don't expect that. You don't expect that at all. But it happens, and it happens. And I think in a lot of ways, these leagues encourage it. I mean, you got to remember, a lot of these leagues have a lot of beer sponsors. So, you know, I mean, they're making money off of this. So, of course, you're going to sell the product. And, of course, in some respect, you're going to encourage tailgating, and tailgating is encouraged. It's not discouraged. It's encouraged. And so, in a lot of ways, you know, this stuff is encouraged. This behavior is encouraged by these sports leagues and by these stadiums. It's encouraged. You want to make money off of it. So it's definitely encouraged. I just want to get your thoughts on the latest incident there with Matthew Clemens, the gentleman who allegedly threw up on 11-year-old fan. Just give your thoughts on that, and your thoughts on rowdy fans in general, and how fans act at sporting events. So talk about it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that incident with Matthew Clemens, the guy throwing up on a fan, and I want to get your thoughts on that incident and your thoughts on fan behavior in general. And is it out of control at this point? Also, the NBA playoffs get started today. Great time of the year. Actually, this is the real madness. This is the real madness. This is the real madness, the NBA playoffs. That's the real madness. The NBA playoffs get started today. So it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to the NBA playoffs. Little technical difficulty there. Please excuse us, a little technical difficulty there. But anyway, we're going to be talking NBA playoffs. NBA playoffs. Great time of the year. This is the true madness. I know everybody talks about March Madness and all that stuff that comes with that. But, man, this is the best time of the year. This, to me, is the best time of the year. The NBA playoffs. It does not get any better than this. 40 days and 40 nights. It doesn't get any better than this. And you got to be excited. You got to be excited. I'm very excited. I can't wait. There's a lot of great matchups here. A lot of great things going on. A lot of storylines. But I want to give you some of your predictions. I want to get your upsets. I want to get your predictions. I want to get your upsets. So it's very interesting how these playoffs shape up and how things will go. But it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So you got to be looking forward to that. It's a great time. The great time, the most wonderful time of the year, the NBA playoffs. Not March Madness. The NBA playoffs. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the On There button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it. Also, you can send messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Again, we're talking NBA playoffs. You're going to get my predictions. You get some previews of these series. And also, fan behavior. Is it out of control at this point? We're talking about an incident at a Phillies game this week where a man apparently threw up on an 11-year-old girl. Yeah, you heard it right. Threw up on an 11-year-old girl. So, again, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And, again, let's look at the NBA playoffs. Let's see what's going on with the NBA playoffs. Bunch of great series out here. Bunch of things going on in the NBA. It's gonna be a good one, especially out in that Western Conference. I mean, every team in that conference has 50 wins or more. So you got a lot of things going on out there. You're gonna have some competitive series out there, and it should be fun. And the first series we're gonna look at is the Lakers and Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, this should be, you got Kevin Durant now, his first playoff series, his first time on the big stage, the scoring leader, averaged over 30 points a game, and had a breakout year. I mean, Kevin Durant is a stud and is a star. He's a star in this league, and he proved it in the regular season, and he's proven it, and hopefully he has an opportunity to prove it here. This is, the playoffs is where you become a legend. This is where you become a legend. And so Kevin Durant has this opportunity now to make a name for himself. He's made a name for himself in the regular season, but when you make a name for yourself in the playoffs, that's when you become a legend. That's where you become a legend. And looking at this series, I mean, the Lakers are the better team here. You hope Andrew Bynum's healthy. If you're a Lakers fan, you got Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant, of course. And you got a good team here. You got a team that is looking to repeat and looking to get that second championship and defend their crown. And they're going to do it. And they're going to do what they have to do. But this is going to be a good series. The one thing with Kevin Durant, if you're a Lakers fan, that's got to scare you, is this guy has the ability at any point to give you 40, to give you 45, to give you maybe 50 at some point. He has that ability to steal a ball game for you. He has that ability. And I think this ability to steal a game is scary. It's scary. And I think that Oklahoma City will get two games from the Lakers. This is going to be a competitive series, and I think Oklahoma City will get two games from the Lakers. They will get two games from the Lakers. It's going to be a tough, rough, grinded-out six-game series, and the Lakers will prevail. But it won't be easy. It won't be easy. And I remember watching Oklahoma City. I watched them live, and I was just a marvel at the talent that's on that roster, and Russell Westbrook, and Durant, of course, and Jeff Green, and James Harden, the young rookie. I mean, they got a lot of guys there, man, who can contribute and who are good. This is an athletic team. The Lakers will win this series, of course, but it won't be easy. So I'll say, Lakers, Thunder, Lakers will win in six games. I'll give the Lakers the victory in six games. Let's look at the next series now. And this is going to be a good one. San Antonio and Dallas. Dallas made that big trade in the middle of the season where they got Caron Butler, where they got Brendan Haywood, where they got the guys who and Deshaun Stevenson, people forget about that, a guy who can defend for you, a guy who can hit a three. He can hit the three. So you got some players in there. Of course, you got Dirk Nowitzki. But if you're Dallas, you really don't want to see the San Antonio team. And this is a veteran-laden ball club, a ball club who has been there, who has been there. They added Richard Jefferson in the offseason to give them another scoring option, to give them another player, another guy who can knock down some shots, and another guy who can get to the bucket, and another athletic guy for this team. But he hasn't meshed in really well and didn't have a great year. Didn't have a great year, but again, it's a guy who has proven in the playoffs that he can bring in a guy who, with a level of athleticism, can possibly contribute here in the playoffs. But I like Dallas here. Even though you got a guy like Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, guys who have been there, guys who have proven that they can win championships and get very far in the playoffs, I really like Dallas here in this series. But it's going to be a tough one. This is going to be another tough series, and it's the Western Conference, man. So you know it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough series. And I like Dallas in six. It's going to be tough, but I like Dallas in six. Nowitzki, I think Nowitzki and his boys, I think the mid-season trade was the thing that put it over the top for me. And I think Dallas, man, Dallas has an opportunity to possibly get to the NBA Finals. They have the ability to possibly get to the NBA Finals. And so you can't sleep on that. But I think this is going to be a tough series. But I think they pull it out in six. On to the next series, Portland and Phoenix. Phoenix ended the year very well, had a great second half of the season. Nash brought it, and Stoudemire really picked it up after the trade deadline. Maybe the pressure of possibly getting traded or being traded was a little too much for him, because once that trade deadline passed, Stoudemire really brought it, and he had a great second half of the season. And Portland, well, you would think Portland would have had a better opportunity. Of course, Portland would have had a better opportunity if Brandon Roy was in the mix. But Brandon Roy is injured, towards meniscus, may return in this series possibly. It's kind of up in the air. I don't expect him to be back, and if he is back, you don't know what he's going to have. But I expect Phoenix, Steve Nash, and Mari Stoudemire and those boys to get it done here in this series. And it's unfortunate because I think this could have been a lot better series with Brandon Roy in the mix. But I think guys will step up for Portland. I think guys will step up, but I just don't think it'll be enough. But I think they have enough to at least get two from Phoenix. So I think Portland wins this. I think Phoenix wins this series in six. Jazz Nuggets. Now, you got a very good series here, very interesting series, actually. Utah Jazz, Denver Nuggets, two teams right now, man, who I believe are evenly matched, but Carlos Boozer, Andre Karolinko are banged up. So that gives an advantage to the Denver Nuggets. You got two guys who are banged up, two guys who are key contributors for the Denver Nuggets, for the Utah Jazz. So those guys won't be in the mix. They will not be in the mix. So they may not be in the mix, And if they are in the mix, they may not be 100%. So with injuries there and with Chauncey Billups and Carmelo Anthony doing their thing, I like the Nuggets. But I think if you're a Nuggets fan, if you're a Jazz fan, you hope that Boozer will be able to give you something. You hope that he'll be able to give you something. And you hope that Karolinko will be able to come back and give you something. But it's not looking good. And with that being said, I like the Nuggets in six. Now, and the final series we'll look at in the Western Conference. Actually, we got through the West. So, we have advancing. The Lakers in six. The Mavericks in six. The Suns in six. And the Nuggets in six. But these series in the Western Conference are going to be tough. They're going to be some, that's going to be some good basketball. There's something I'm looking forward to today. Looking forward to today. And for the next 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights of good, tough, grind it out basketball. Playoff NBA basketball. It should be exciting, man. It should be very exciting. And to me, this is the most wonderful time of the year. This is a great, great time of the year. Again, today we're talking fan behavior. Talking about that incident in Philadelphia where you had the young man who threw up on the 11-year-old girl. Sick situation. Fan behavior. Has it gone too far? I mean, are we too passionate? I mean, at the end of the day, it's only a game. And we all got to go to work on Monday, hopefully most of us, if you have a job, hopefully. And in this economy, you never know. But we all got to go to work. So have the fans become too rowdy? Have they become too rowdy? And also the NBA playoffs. Who do you think? We're talking upsets. Any upsets out there for you? You got any upsets? We're going to get you all your predictions right now. Who do you have advancing to the next round? Again, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Now we're going to the Eastern Conference. Going to look at the four series out east. Again, it's the playoffs, baby. The playoffs. Playoffs. Great time. We're going to look at the Cavaliers and the Bulls. Series gets started today. LeBron James and those boys. Shaq is supposed to return today. So, again, that should be a lift for the Cavaliers. But to me, you don't need Shaq for this series. The addition of Shaq is going to come in the later rounds. So, Shaq is Shaq. But this is not the same Shaq. And in a lot of ways, some people believe that the Cavaliers are better without Shaq. In some respect, they are. In some respect, they're not. But I think when it comes down to playing the Orlando Magic, you're going to need Shaquille O'Neal in the mix. And if you don't have Shaq in the mix, I don't think you get by the Orlando Magic. Because if the problem becomes, and the problem becomes is, again, Dwight Howard killed everybody else. He killed Ilgauskas, Varejao. Whoever they put on him last year, he killed. So we'll see if Shaq can limit Dwight Howard, which I think he can. It should be very interesting, but I think Shaq can do it. But let's look at this series against the Chicago Bulls. I mean, the Bulls, they played well near the end of the year, got into the playoffs, beat out the Toronto Raptors, who they were battling for that eighth seed. But they're just happy to be here in a lot of ways. And I think they'll compete, but it's not going to be a tough series at all for the Cleveland Cavaliers. In fact, I think Cleveland will sweep them. I like Cleveland in four. This is going to be an easy series for the Cavaliers. It's just too much LeBron, too much Jameson, too much Mo Williams, and too much Big Shaq. And so I like Cleveland in four. I think Cleveland will sweep that series. Orlando and Charlotte. Larry Brown, the Charlotte Bobcats, squeaked into the playoffs. No, they didn't squeak. They were in the seventh seed. They played well. The addition of Steven Jackson got them over the top, got them into the playoffs. And there's a team that, you know, a Larry Brown coach team, so you know they're going to compete. They may not win, but they're going to compete. So, but also this is a team that's not very good on the road. This is a team that I don't think they'll have enough to stop Dwight Howard. Tyson Chandler is banged up. And I just don't think the matchup is suitable for Charlotte. But I do think they'll compete here. I do think they'll compete. And Gerald Wallace and Steven Jackson, those boys, they're going to compete. And Larry Brown is definitely going to have this ball club competing. But I don't think they'll have enough for Orlando. I think I like Orlando in five. I like Orlando in five here. It may be competitive for a few games, but Orlando's just too much. Too much Dwight Howard, too much Rashard Lewis, too much Jameer Nelson. So I like the Orlando Magic in five. Milwaukee and Atlanta. This would have been a lot better series if Andrew Bogut didn't get hurt. I mean, Andrew Bogut was having a great year, averaging a double-double, averaging over 10 boards a game. I mean, he had a great year for them. And unfortunately, Bogut will not be here. Bogut had that serious injury near the end of the year where he tried to dunk the ball and he fell. But I think Milwaukee will be competitive. I really do. I mean, John Salmons has been a great addition for Milwaukee. Great addition for them. And also Brandon Jennings, the great rookie, the young rookie, who's had a great year for Milwaukee. These guys will keep them in there, and they're playing hard under Scott Skiles. They're playing very hard. And Scott Skiles' teams will play hard. But I like Atlanta. I think Atlanta, with their athleticism, Josh Smith, Joe Johnson, those boys, and you got Jamal Crawford coming off the bench, who's had a great year. He's going to win the Sixth Man of the Year award, no doubt about that. I can't imagine him not winning it. And I think Joe Johnson and Jamal Crawford and Josh Smith and these boys will be a little too much for Milwaukee, and I think the Atlanta Hawks will win this series in six. Miami and Boston. It's an interesting series in a lot of ways. 4-5 series, those 4-5 matchups are always good matchups, always fun matchups, and always exciting series. So it should be a good one, and I'm looking forward to this one here. Dwayne Wade, again, a lot like Kevin Durant, has that ability to go into your building, to drop 40, and steal a victory for you, steal a game for you. So you hope, if you're Miami, your question is not Dwayne Wade, will he step up? Your question is, will the other guys step up? The Michael Beasleys of the world, Mario Chalmers of the world, the Udonis Haslam of the world, those guys. Will those guys step up? Because you know what you're going to get from that big three. You know Garnett's going to bring it. You know Ray Allen is going to bring it. And, of course, you know Paul Pierce is going to bring it. So you know what you're going to get there in Boston. But I think Miami will make this an interesting series. And I think this is going to be a very interesting series. I can see the series going seven. But the type of series that goes seven would have blowout in game seven by Boston, because I don't think Miami will have enough. Miami will have enough to stretch it to seven games, but they won't have enough to beat the Boston Celtics. And I think they'll stretch it to seven, but probably get blown out in game seven. So I like Boston over the Heat in seven. So recap, Cavaliers in four. Orlando in five, Atlanta in six, and Boston in seven. Let me know what you think. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it under the category of sports, and you can send messages, email messages to the show. At goforit.gann@gmail.com. That's goforit.gann@gmail.com. So, again, NBA playoffs. Tell me your upsets. Tell me who you like. And also, fan behavior. Has it gone too far? Are we too passionate? Are we borderline out of control? Are we out of control? Because in some respect, We just don't know how to act. We just don't. It's sad. We got to learn how to act, people. People, just because you pay your money doesn't mean you can go into any sporting event and act a fool. I mean, you're grown. These are grown men here, acting like 2-year-olds, acting like little kids. We got grown men who get mad at other grown men because they're cheering for another team. I mean, you know, there has to be an accountability in terms of you got to be held accountable for how you act. I mean, you're not a little kid anymore. You're a big kid now. You're not a little kid anymore. So you need to know how to act. You need to act like a grown-up. And just because you get liquored up doesn't give you the excuse to act silly and act stupid. I mean, come on. Come on, man. You guys are grown. You're grown men acting stupid. This is grown men we're talking about acting stupid at sporting events. Acting dumb. And it's sad. And it's sad in a lot of ways that parents can't take their kids to games without hearing bad language, without seeing people fighting, and without getting blown up on. So it's really sad in a lot of ways. And you just hope that at some point it get a little better. I mean, granted, the fans who are doing this are the exception and not necessarily the rule. I mean, people aren't getting thrown up on at sporting events every day. So, in a lot of ways, it's the exception. But it's always those few knuckleheads that ruin it for everybody. They always ruin it for everybody. And it's wrong. It's wrong in a lot of ways. It's wrong. So you just hope that these people will learn how to act. You hope these people learn how to act. Also, man, I've been watching 24/7, Mayweather and Mosley. Looking forward to that fight, man. That's going to be a great fight. I'm looking forward to that one. And I wanted to see Mayweather fight Mosley more than I wanted to see Mayweather fight Pacquiao, honestly. I was just, that matchup always intrigued me. I was always intrigued by that matchup because Mosley always had the speed. And, of course, Mosley had the power to possibly give Mayweather some fits. So it should be an interesting fight, man. And I've been watching the 24/7. And the Mayweather clan, man, they're great. They're a great clan. They're a funny group of people. Roger and Floyd Sr. And, of course, Floyd Jr. They're just both, they're all crazy, they're all confident, cocky, just show-offs in a lot of ways. And they all brag and they all boast. Sometimes you can't really understand when Roger boasts and brags, and sometimes you really can't understand when Floyd Sr. brags and boasts because you can't really understand what they're saying. You have a hard time listening to what they're saying because of the way they talk. But, of course, they're funny guys, and they're guys that have been around the sport for a long time. I mean, the Mayweather clan is a funny, funny, funny group of people. So, I mean, 24/7 is must-watch for me, man. Mayweather-Mosley 24/7 is must-watch. I mean, I watch Cotto Pacquiao 24/7, not as exciting as Floyd. I mean, Floyd is the man in 24/7. 24/7 would not, it's good, but Floyd makes it great. Floyd's a funny, funny guy, man, and it's good television. It's good television, man. It's must watch. I hope you guys have been watching it, man, because it's good television. 24/7, man. Mayweather, Mosley. Watch it. Please watch it because it's good. It's very good. Also, you got the NFL draft coming up, too, man. I mean, it's a prime time for the first time. So that should be interesting. First round should be done in one day. Will be done on one day. So it should be fun, man. It's the first time in prime time the NFL draft will be on. It should be fun. It should be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I'm reading now where see if they're There's been rumors that the Rams were looking to shop that first pick. Saw a story today where sources are saying that that the Rams won't try to sign Sam Bradford before the draft. So you don't know what's going to happen. It should be interesting to see if the Rams will trade out of that first pick. Because I hear a lot of people saying it, but it's true, man. I mean, when you draft your quarterback and you do it wrong and you make the wrong mistake there, you're setting your franchise back a few years, man. I mean, look at Cincinnati. I mean, they drafted Akili Smith. Same year, the Eagles drafted McNabb and drafted him in 1999. And, Akili didn't do too well. Didn't do too well at all, actually. And the Bengals never really got over that selection until they picked Carson Palmer back in 2003. So it took essentially 4 years for the Bengals to recover from that bad pick. And that was a quarterback, man. So it's tough. Look at the Cleveland Browns. I mean, same situation. They drafted Tim Couch in 99. And in drafting Tim Couch, he didn't do too well. Tim Couch didn't have a great career. And it set the franchise back. It set the franchise back about, well, the franchise still set back because they drafted Tim Couch and then they drafted Brady Quinn recently. And then both of those guys, Tim Couch is obviously out of the league. Brady Quinn has been traded to Denver. So in a lot of ways, these two quarterbacks have set their franchise back, and this franchise hasn't been a winner, man, because they didn't draft right in terms of the quarterback. They didn't get the right person. So they set the franchise back. So that's why this pick is a big pick for the Rams. They got to get it right. And if they don't, their fans will never forget it. And they'll never forget it. And some who are in the organization now may not be. Steve Spagnuolo, the coach there, may not be there if they do this. If they don't make the right selection. So that should be interesting. The NFL draft in prime time. That should be pretty interesting. So you got the NFL draft in prime time, and you got the NBA playoffs today. The NBA playoffs start today. And, I mean, let's get the crowd into it. The NBA playoffs have started. They're here. They are here. It's great, man. All these storylines. Will the Lakers repeat? Can LeBron get past the Magic and Dwight Howard? Kevin Durant's first time in the playoffs. Ron Artest, once he's the right pickup. Amari Stoudemire, can he get it done in the playoffs? A lot of storylines. George Karl in Denver, can they beat the Lakers? Dallas Mavericks, is this the final run here? Will they have to retool after this? So you got a lot of storylines here, man, a lot of storylines. And if you missed it, end of the year, Philadelphia, 76ers fired their coach, Eddie Jordan. Eddie Jordan, I guess apparently wasn't the right guy for the job. The team really regressed this year. They really did. I expected possibly the playoffs for this team. And, I mean, there was some question marks coming into the season. I mean, you wondered if Lou Williams would be able to take over for Andre Miller and take that next step as a point guard. He didn't, obviously. And they missed that general. He was the glue. He was the straw that stirred the drink in a lot of ways, Andre Miller. And in losing him, you struggled. And the team struggled. They never took to Eddie Jordan's Princeton offense. And and not taken to that offense, it affected them throughout the season. And also, defensively. That team just didn't defend. It didn't defend well. It didn't play well. And it just weren't good. And Elvin Brand, the big-time signing that the Sixers brought, Eddie Stefanski brought to the Sixers, okay year. Dallin Bear played okay this year. He had a decent year. Iguodala kind of took a step back. Thad Young didn't really take that next step. So it affected the ball club. So the Sixers organization now, they got to get this right in terms of the coach. I mean, I thought and fire Mo Cheeks, I didn't think that was the right move at the time. I thought Mo did enough and deserved to finish out that season, deserved to finish out last season. And he took a team that overachieved, and they competed. And a team that took the Pistons to six games a few years back. And it's, you know, I mean, and thinking about last year when Tony DeLeo stepped in for Mo Cheeks, the reality of that team took off when Elton Brand went down because they were able to plug in that Young at the four spot. They were able to go back to what they did best, and that was run. Run, 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 run. So they ran, and their fast break was what made this team good, like good, not great last year, obviously. Well, it made them good. It made them click. It made them get to the playoffs. So when Elton Brand came back this year, I guess in some respect kind of slowed the team down. And then you didn't have that point guard in Andre Miller who was able to wreck everything. He was the quarterback, and they missed that. They missed that this year. And, I mean, in a lot of ways, Eddie Jordan did not have a great year as a coach. His rotations were never solid. I mean, they were scattered, and the lineups were scattered. And they tried to plug in AI, and that didn't work. Obviously, that was a move just for the fans and a move to try to get some butts in the seats. But right now, the Sixers, they need some juice. They need some juice, and there's been rumors of possibly Larry Brown coming back to the organization, and that would be helpful, and that would be very helpful for this ball club and possibly get them back. But you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, Larry Brown doesn't stay in one spot too long, and Ed Snyder, the owner of the Sixers, is very fond of the guy, so we'll see what happens. But Ed Stefanski has to get this right. And if you look at a lot of guys that were on the team and got them to the playoffs were Billy King guys. Now, I'm not saying Billy King did the greatest job, but these guys were Billy King guys. Thad Young was Billy King. Iguodala was Billy King. So these were Billy King guys. Andre Miller, bringing in Andre Miller, and was Billy King. So these were these guys, you know, so these guys were Billy King type of guys, and Billy King brought them in. Now, I'm not saying Billy, like I said, I'm not saying Billy King did a great job, but it's time for Ed Stefanski. I mean, Stefanski did well and drafted most Maurice Bates. That was a good draft pick for them, but, you know, you still got guys out here who question marks with this team, and they're going to have to have some decisions here. You got Sam D'Alembert going into the final year of his contract, so he's going to be appealing to other teams. So you'll see if they can move him. So you'll see. We'll see. It should be interesting what happens with the Sixers and where direction they'll go in terms of a new coach. I'm hearing that Avery Johnson will probably go to New Orleans, so he may be out the picture. But they may have to settle for an assistant that's already out there. Mike Woodson possibly is a guy who doesn't have a contract after a year, so he's a guy maybe you can go after, former assistant coach for the Sixers, and has done a good job in Atlanta. So, I mean, you'll see. We'll see what happens and what direction they'll go in terms of the coach. But they got to get a named coach because this franchise right now, they need juice. No one cares about the franchise. They need a They need a coach that'll some name recognition, I think. And Mike Woodson probably won't do it. But if Larry Brown probably would. And it'll bring some attention to the franchise because this franchise needs something. It needs something. But Eddie Jordan's out, everybody, so you can cheer that. You can cheer that. Eddie Jordan's gone. Have to worry about him for now. He's gone. Eddie Jordan is gone, everybody! Eddie Jordan is gone. But, I mean, and Eddie, there was a comment Eddie Jordan made where he felt that the roster was not as talented as it was last year. And there could be some truth to that. And I'll agree with him from this standpoint. Andre Miller was very, very big for the Sixers. And he was not replaced. Lou Williams is not the guy to run a ball club. He can't do it. He can score. He's a good combination guard. He's a good guy. Good six man off the bench who can come in and give you instant offense. But he's proven, I think, at this point, that he's not the guy to run your team. And Drew Holiday showed a lot of promise this year. And hopefully he can make that next step. But, I mean, I think they have to do something. They got to do something. I mean, it looks like right now they'll be getting a sixth pick. Obviously, you don't know what happens once the lottery balls go. But apparently they're tied with Detroit for the fifth worst record. There's going to be a coin flip for that, and we'll see who will get five and who will get six. So, I mean, they did a good job near the end in losing. I mean, they did their job there. I mean, they in some respects, some of the games they were competitive, but they lost at the end, and that's good. That's good. That's what you want. You want them to compete. Near the end of the year, you wanted them to compete a little bit, but ultimately you want them to lose so you can kill two birds with one stone and get rid of Eddie Jordan and also get in better position for a possible draft pick, a good high draft pick in this upcoming NBA draft. So it should be interesting where the Sixers go. The number to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look for the show. Go for it under the category of sports. And again, you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. And actually, we have an email message that we like to read. This is Tom from Philadelphia. Tom writes that a lot of times Philadelphia fans get a bad rap. It's not our fault that we're passionate fans. It's not our fault that we love our teams. It's not our fault that we'll do what we have to do to protect our home field and our home court. Now, I don't condone the behaviors of the guy, Tom continues to write. I don't condone the behaviors of those fans, and I don't condone the behavior of the fan who threw up on the 11-year-old girl. But I do enjoy the passion of Philadelphia fans, and I think these are the best fans in the world. Well, Tom, you might be right. We Philly fans are passionate. Philly fans are good fans, and they're great fans, actually. But, Tom, you got to control the passion sometimes. You can't go overboard. You can't get too rowdy. You can't do things like throw vomit on little kids and curse and use foul and inappropriate language and fight at these games. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of these people, they're grown-ups. They have jobs. They have families. And you don't want your kid acting like that. You don't want your kid acting a fool. And that's the way these guys are acting at these sporting events. So, Tom, while I agree with the passion, I can't condone, and you're in agreement with that, we can't condone foul behavior. We can't condone poor behavior. We can't condone ridiculous, outlandish behavior. We can't condone it. And as fans, we shouldn't want that. We shouldn't want that. Also, another email message, Steve from New York, actually. Steve writes that Philly fans are terrible fans. They're rowdy fans. They boo Santa Claus. They cheer Michael Irvin. And now this. Now this. Philly fans, time to straighten your act up. Well, we appreciate the email from you, but you're from New York. You're calling from New York. You're calling from a city who had a snowball incident. I don't know if you remember. Giants game. It was a Saturday afternoon a few years back. They were throwing ice. Throwing ice at the sidelines. They actually hit a coach on the sideline. So, New York is not much better. New York is not much better. And who are you? Who are you to talk about Philly fans? Who are you to talk about Philly fans? You're a New Yorker. You're from New York. Who are you to talk about Philly fans? You guys are the same way. Actually, you're worse. Philly fans are better. These are the best. Philly fans are the best fans in the world. And you can take that. Also, we got Bob from Phoenix, Arizona. Bob writes, the Phoenix Suns are going to get it done this year. The Phoenix Suns will get it done this year. Amari's going to take that next step. Steve Nash is going to take that next step. Watch out for the Phoenix Suns. Well, we thank you for your email, but well, Phoenix, you got it lucky here playing Portland in that first round without Brandon Roy. You got lucky there. But we'll see what happens in that next round. We'll see what happens in that next round, Stevie Nash. We'll see what happens in that next round, Amari Stoudemire. I mean, you guys, I mean, hey, Phoenix had a great second half of the season. They did. They had a very good second half of the season, actually. But Phoenix, you got lucky here, man. What's going to probably happen is you'll get past Portland, then you'll play Dallas in the next round, and at that point, Dallas will blow your doors down, and that's what will end for you. You'll get to the second round, probably lose to Dallas in six, and that will be the end of the Phoenix Suns. And it should be interesting what happens with Amari Stoudemire over the summer. Hopefully, if you're a Suns fan, you keep him. Hopefully, if you keep Amari Stoudemire, if you're a Suns fan. And the final email that we're going to read today, we have Joseph from Cleveland. Joseph writes, the Cleveland Cavaliers will finally get past the Orlando Magic this year. And the reason being is Shaq Daddy. Yeah, Shaq, we probably won't need Shaq in another series, but we'll need Shaq against the Orlando Magic. And I think Shaq, who is the real Superman, will get it done. Well, I agree with you. I agree that Shaq is the real Superman. Dwight Howard has not done enough, in my opinion, to supplant the most dominant big man ever to play the game, in Shaquille O'Neal. The real Superman. Until Shaq retires, or until Dwight Howard wins as many championships as Shaq has, until Dwight Howard wins four championships, then we'll talk. Until that, for anybody that believes that Dwight Howard is a true Superman, shut up, because Shaq Daddy is the real Superman. But I do agree with you. I think Cleveland will get by Orlando this year. And I think Cleveland will get to the NBA Finals. I actually think Cleveland will win the NBA title. I really do. I really think it's their time. They've taken each step, and I think they have enough with Jameson and Shaq to get over that hump and win that NBA title, and it should be interesting. I think if LeBron wins that title, LeBron's gone. But I think if LeBron loses, I think LeBron will come back. So I mean, or I think they'll have a better chance. If LeBron loses, I think New York and whoever else is out there has a better chance of getting him. But if he wins, if he wins, they have a better chance. If he loses, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. If he loses, I think he's going back to Cleveland because I think he wants to win that title for Cleveland. He's an Ohio boy, so I think he wants to win that title for Ohio. And man, those Cleveland fans, those long-suffering Browns fans, they could use that. They definitely could use that. So the numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And again, you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. Click on the on-air button at the top of the page and look under the category of sports. And you can also send messages to the show. We got a few email messages today at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. We got 3 minutes left to the show, and of course it's that time to take out the trash. Time to take out the trash. Somebody's got to go into Gant's garbage this week. And this week was an easy choice, very easy choice actually. And the guy who's headed to the garbage, No other than Matthew Clemens. Yes, if you listen to the show, Mr. Clemens was the one who apparently, allegedly threw up on an 11-year-old girl at a Philadelphia Phillies game. Mr. Clemens, you're a nasty man. Mr. Clemens, you're a despicable man. Mr. Clemens, you need to go into the trash. And you need to stay in the trash. And don't get out that trash, Mr. Clemens. Mr. Clemens, it's time to take your body, trying to lift up the top of the garbage, and it's time to throw you in. Mr. Clemens, you are in Gant's garbage. In there, Mr. Clemens, get in. In there yet? Okay, we got him. I got him. He's in there. He's in there. Got him into there. Got him into the garbage. And I hope, Mr. Clemens, they throw the book at you. I hope they throw it at you. And I hope when they throw it, you don't duck. We want to thank those who listened today. It was a good show today. We talked about the NBA playoffs. We talked about crazy, rowdy fans. And it was a good show, good topics. And I enjoyed delivering my message to you, and I enjoy doing that each and every week and each and every day. I want to thank all the emailers who emailed the show. And again, you can email the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. You can email the show, and we'll respond to you, and we'll read them on the air if you do send us an email. And again, you can email us at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, enjoy the NBA playoffs today. It should be a lot of interesting series, a lot of things going on. Enjoy it. And if you're a fan, if you're at a game, control yourself. If you're at any of those games, control yourself. Act like a gentleman. Act like an adult, actually. Act like an adult for once. And we thank you all who came in today. Again, we do this all the time. We talk sports, and we have fun doing it. I brought you in, now I got to bring you out. Go! For it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for going for it. We'll see you next week. Enjoy. Bye.